Jason with us this afternoon. And if you don't know Brother Jason, if you've never seen him before, when you he stands up, you'll understand what I'm about to say. This guy's my friend, and I want to keep it that way. I don't want him angry at me, but I appreciate him so much. And I was laughing at him with him a while ago. I don't see Craig back there anywhere, but he was talking about Craig and giving him, there he is, giving him, I couldn't see you, now ain't that terrible. He was talking about Craig and him wrestling or something, so you guys going to wrestle, let me know, I want to sell the tickets. And so I'm glad to have both of these guys on my side, but I appreciate him so much. And Jason, he kind of got to be special to me. Every once in a while I get a text from him, and it seems like I get it at a time when I need it. I appreciate it, Jason. Just you thinking about me. May God bless you. Come and let the Lord bless your heart.
Amen. I hope that's on, brother. When I get it on my belt, that's below sea level. And so it's good to be in God's house. Amen. Thank God for the privilege of being in this camp meeting, and the thing I enjoy the most is the opportunity to bring my children and put them in this environment. And don't get me wrong, I need to be fed and I need to be encouraged, but our children sure need to see a move of God, amen. They need to see God showing up on the scene, and they need to see the saints praising God and know that there's still a fire in us after all the years that we've served Him. And a reason to keep going on. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Joshua chapter 3, I guess it's afternoon now. Joshua chapter 3 is where we want to preach from this morning. When you found your place, would you stand in reverence to God's word this morning? I'm going to read three verses there. It says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. I want to focus on the last three words there in verse 3. Go after it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We pray that you would help us, God, as we preach your word. Father, we pray that you would encourage us and anoint us, God, for the time that we've been allotted to preach your word today. Father, we know, God, that your people need an encouragement, and they need, God, you to stir their hearts and to challenge this morning. And Father, we are just mere man. Lord, if you don't show up and you don't move, God, we've done all in vain. And so we pray this morning for an anointing, and we pray for your help. God, we pray for your power to be among us this morning. We thank you for your presence that we felt in the singing. And we pray, God, that'll continue through the preaching hour. And Lord, that you'll bless and move in some heart today. Father, only you know hearts. You know who needs to be encouraged. You know who needs to be challenged, God, and driven to serve you better and to walk deeper into the word with you. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you back up to chapter 1, you'll find in this passage of Scripture that, or this book of Scripture that we've read to you, that Moses has died and Joshua has taken over, and they're fixing to cross the Jordan on the brink of taking Jericho and the walls of Jericho. You'll find in chapter 1 of Joshua in verse number 3 that the Lord has promised him that every place that his feet shall tread upon, that the Lord will give unto him. He tells them in verse number 4 that from the wilderness and this Lebanon even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, he said, it will be your coast. And he gives him a promise in verse number 5 of chapter 1. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And I will not fail thee, he said, and I will not forsake thee. I believe that God has given us some things in the Word of God that we need to look at, just as Joshua looked at what God had given him here in chapter 1. God had given a promise unto Joshua. And can I tell you, friend, you can't stand on the promises of the Word of God if you don't know the promises of the Word of God. Amen? You can't have nothing to hook your belt to in a time of dangling or hanging if you don't have a promise to hook to. Amen? And a promise to hold on to. And I see this passage of Scripture here, and what encourages me as I get to chapter 3, I'm going to get to those three words here in just a minute and why we want to focus on them. But I see that the Lord tells Joshua this, and then He gives him some instruction in verse 7 and verse 8. He said, Joshua, I'll do all this for you, but there's something, Joshua, I want you to do for me. He says, be thou strong and very courageous, and observe to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He tells him, turn not from it to the right, turn not from it to the left. Listen, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. If you don't have Joshua 1:8 memorized, you ought to memorize Joshua 1:8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. Listen, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have great success. You say, Brother Jason, why is that important? Well, I don't have time to read to you all morning, or I don't want to give you some points and preach to you. But you read chapter 2, they're fixing to go take Jericho. God has promised them they can have all the land that they want if they will observe to follow His law, follow His commandments, and do what Moses has written for them. But there's a little instruction that has been given in the Word of God here. Joshua told them, he said, hey, I want you to understand that there's an ark that's going to be leading you. This ark is going to be going before you. The priest will get up and they will walk. You'll see that in verse number 3. He said the priest will bear it. And then when you see it moving, you get up and go after it. As a young preacher, I had read a lot, seen that word a lot as in my word and in the Bible, the word ark, and I got to wanting to read about it. I got to wanting to study about it. I got to wanting to know a little bit more about the ark. And I noticed that every place the ark was, God was. Amen. When the ark was there, the power of God was there. I began to study back, and I found that the first ark in the Bible was Noah's ark. And I found that it was called Noah's Ark. And listen, I'm not real deep and I'm not real educated, but you know why they call it Noah's Ark? Noah was in the ark. Amen. Then I read a little farther and I found a story about baby Moses and how his mother floated him down the river and she put him in that ark. A lot of times that's referred to as Moses' ark. Why? Because Moses was in the ark. Amen. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. That don't take very deep thinking. So when I look at the ark of God, I look at the ark of God here that we're reading about this morning, and I see it's called the ark of God, and I begin to study about the ark of God. See, you see this ark represented the power of God. And so when we know that Noah's ark is called Noah's ark because Noah's in the ark, Moses' ark is called Moses' ark because Moses is in the ark, then why in the world is it called God's ark? It's because God's power rests upon that ark. And in that ark was some things that was very, very important. And the Bible tells us here, he said to Joshua, he said, hey, I'm going to give you all that I can give you and that you'll trust me for if you'll observe to do as I've commanded you. And Joshua said, hey, we're going to follow the power of God. You say, Brother Jason, what is so important? What is so important about this wooden box? It ain't as important about the wooden box as what was in the box. Amen. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 9 with me this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to look in verse number 4. And this is what I want to build my message around, is this right here. He told him, he said, hey, when you see that ark moving, that ark represents the power of God, you go after it. But there's some things in here that I want you to notice. In chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse number 4, it talks about the ark. And it says, which had the golden censers and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. You say, Brother Jason, what does that represent? I'm going to kind of take these. I know they're in order there in the Word, but I'm going to switch them up a little bit for you, all right? The first thing you see, we understand that Moses is standing on the mount and God gives the covenants. Brother Roy just talked about the importance of the covenants a while ago. And can I tell you, friend, I believe that if you want the power and the presence of God, the important thing about that ark was what was inside the ark. It was the covenant of God. It was the law of God. It was the Word of God. It was what was to direct them and guide them and give them the rule of life. And can I tell you, friend, this morning, that if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the anointing of God in your life, if you want your way to prosper and your way to be successful, listen, I believe we expect the church to raise our children's mom and dad, and we expect them to teach our children. And I've learned that it's important that we do it at home, and then what we do at home will affect the house of God. And it's important, friend, we have the Word of God in our life. We have the power of God in our home. We have the Word of God that we're standing upon in the house and in the home, and we're teaching it and training it. And listen, can I tell you, the thing that's destroying America today is they hear it at church and they don't see it lived at home. They see the power of God. Listen, they see us raise our hands in the church. They see us clap our hands in the church. They hear us talk about it in the church. And then we get home and it's never mentioned. It's never opened. It's never read. It's never studied. It's never prayed over. It's never encouraged and driven in their life. Even in correction, they don't know why they're being corrected about certain things, because they're not being told. Hey, do you know the Bible says we don't do this stuff? And that goes back to what I said a while ago. You can't teach what you don't know either. See, the Word of God is important. And they understood that if God was going to be with them, if they were going to cross the Jordan, if they were going to win the victory over Jericho, they needed a power outside of themselves. Listen, Dad and Mom, I can't speak for your home, but my little boy, my oldest boy, I call him little, he ain't little anymore. 2 weeks, he went from size 8 to size 12 pants. And I said, you're growing like your daddy. Noah, raise your hand. If you've not met him yet, that's your own fault, all right? Because I promise you, he's tried to talk to you. My boys are good boys. I love Noah and Nate, and I got a little girl back there. Brother Kenny, I learned after I had him, took him home, I learned real quick, I need the power of God to raise that boy the way I want to raise him. Brother Stacy dealt with it this morning. Hey, we do. We do worry about what will our kids turn out to be. We think about it. You say, Brother Jason, do you not trust God? Absolutely, I trust God. But I also know that God gave me a great responsibility to train and pour and lead. And the Bible says, hey, that if we'll pour the Word within them and train the Word within them, that Word will not return void. He says, train up a child. Train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's old, it'll not depart. See, I believe in the house of God and in the homes, we've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to loving the Word of God. We've got to get back to desiring the Word of God. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving heed to the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Listen, we live in a dark, desperate world, and the Bible teaches us in the book of Psalms that the Word of God is to be a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Amen. It's to guide me. The Word of God is to be quick, is to be powerful, it's to cut the sin out of my life. Why is this Word, Brother Jason? How do we know? Listen, I don't have time to preach. If you want a copy of it, I've got one at my church. I just preached it to my people. Why we will use the King James Bible only. There's a lot of deception out there. There's a lot of jokes going on about the Word of God and that King James was this and that. Listen, you need to do your history and you need to study up on it. This is God's preserved Word. How do you know that, Brother Jason? Listen, prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the hand of God. And he said, my word will be settled forever, preserved, taken care of. I don't have time to preach that, but listen, I believe in the Word of God. Amen. I believe in the covenants that God gives us. I believe in the important things of the Word of God. He said heaven and earth will pass away. You know the only thing that's going to stand, friend? This book right here. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but He said my Word shall stand forever. I thought about as I was reading and studying, I thought, you know, there's books for every religion. Buddhists have a book. Muslims have a book. Jehovah Witness have a book. The modern church even has a book. But praise God, we got the book. Amen. They have a book. We have the book. And listen, I believe with all of our hearts, friend, if we want the power of God in our lives, if we want the move of God in our lives, if we want God to do something supernatural in our lives, He said, hey, listen, can I tell you something? We've got people in the church today. They won't come back on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. They're half-hearted, and the church has got half the power it should have because people ain't obeying the Word of God, following the Word of God, searching the Word of God, doing what the Word of God tells them to do. If you want the power of God in your home, friend, if you want the blessings of God and the prosperity of God in your home, you've got to go after the Word of God. You got to follow the Word of God and love the Word of God. Listen, not half-heartedly, but with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Amen. He says, he that seeks after me in that way will find it. The Bible teaches us very clearly the importance of the Word of God. I want you secondly to notice in that passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, he talks about Aaron's rod. Buddy, I don't want to give you too much history lesson today, or I don't want to spend time on that, but you go back and you'll see that they rebelled against Moses. They were trying to raise up leaders saying, Moses, what makes you think you're the man of God? And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram tried to be the men of God. And if you read there in the book of Numbers, you'll find that the Bible talks about the judgment of God come upon them. The ground swallowed them up. And God told Moses, he said, hey, you take a rod from every man, 12 rods, and put them in the temple, and I will anoint the man of God. I will show the man of God. If you study that word, you'll find that Aaron's rod, he said, the rod that buds and brings forth fruit and brings forth life, that's who I have appointed. You say, what is that a picture of, Brother Jason? I believe that Aaron's rod is a picture of God's chosen development in the church and the house of God, and it's a sign of new life. Amen? Sign of new life. I thought about that, and I thought it's a sign of salvation. It's a sign of selection. Amen? And when I begin to think about that, I thought, why a stick in this box that represents the power and presence of God? If you study that word, you'll find that God took a stick, and brought new life to it. Amen? And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, what is the sign of salvation? The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but you hath He quickened. What's that mean? It means He's made alive. Amen? He's been made alive. And you say, Brother Jason, what's the importance of that in the ark? Listen, if you want to have the prosperity of God in your life, if you want to have the blessing of God in your life, go after the new life and the salvation that God has given you. Go after budding in Christ. Go after producing fruit in Christ. Go after being all you can be for the Lord God Almighty. Seek after the salvation and the selection. Listen to me, friend. It's a dangerous thing when God speaks to your heart and His power and presence sweeps through your heart and you say, not today. You say, not today. You say, not now. Listen, it may not be, you may know you're saved, but God's calling you to deeper service for Him, and you say, not today, that's dangerous, friend. Listen, you don't come to God and do for God when you're ready. You come to God and do for God when He calls you, friend. The Bible teaches us very plainly, no man can come unless the Father bids him. I preach this hard in my church. I teach this in my church too. I'm not preaching this way because I'm at camp meeting. I preach this way every week, all right? My daddy taught me, if you're going to preach, you get up there and do it with all your heart. And I'm serious about what I preach and about what I deliver. And I believe there's a lot of people sitting in church living below where God wants them to live, not experiencing what God wants them to experience. Can I tell you, there's enough money in the church to do everything the church needs to do. There's enough, and you say, preachers, that's all you preach about is money. No, listen, I believe God will provide all of our needs. I don't worry about money. I learned a long time ago, God will take care of all that. But listen, the thing that does bother me is there's enough Sunday school teachers, there's enough workers, there's enough disciples, there's enough people, man, to build a great house of God and a great work of God in every community. If the people of God would rise up and enjoy their salvation, realize they're selected of God and that they're ambassadors for God, and they would go after what God's called them to do and seek Him with all their heart and search Him with all their heart. Listen, America would experience revival. But the problem is, we're doing it in our power. We're doing it in our might. We'll throw together stuff. Listen, I tell my people, if you ain't studied and you ain't prepared and you ain't ready, you put them in another class. Don't you go in there and try to wing it. Why? It's important, friend, that we have preparation in the house of God and that we have the anointing of God. And we have the power of God. The reason the church is failing today all across America is because people are doing it in their own power and their own might. Joshua said, hey, boys, we've got a great challenge ahead of us. Number one, we got to cross the Jordan. Number two, we got to defeat Jericho. Now listen, I don't know how much of a Bible student you are, but you ought to go study what Jericho was like. It was a massive wall. It was a massive town. No normal army was going to take that city of its own power. It had to have the power of God upon any army to conquer Jericho. And can I tell you, friend, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, the Bible teaches us. We're wrestling against principality and power and wickedness in high places. We need to realize we're wrestling against the devil and all his forces. We're fighting hell, friend, and we can't do that in our own might. We must as the church. I must as a dad. You must, as a parent, have the anointing of God upon your life to be effective for God. Then number three, I told Brother Craig, I said, man, two of my heroes are following me. So I'm going to preach quick and get out of the way. Because I can't even carry them boys' Bibles. I love them. I appreciate them. Number three, what does he say, Brother Jason? He says in Hebrews 9 and 4 that there was a golden pot of manna. I want you to think about this just a second. For over 40 years, God fed over 2 million Jews every day in the wilderness with manna. Now, that may not mean nothing to you. You may think, man, that's a big number. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty awesome. Has anybody ever been caught by a train at a railroad track? Say amen. Raise your hand. Do something. That'll give me a chance to get a drink, all right? I officiate, I call ball, and sometimes, brother, I leave the house too late. I'll just be honest. And I'm in a hurry. And it never fails if I'm in a hurry. I'll get caught by something stupid, a wreck, a train, or something. I got caught by a train the other day. Miss Annette, I sat there and I counted 247 of them boxes. I used to do that as a kid, and when it got there, I thought, you know what, I ain't got nothing to do but sit here and watch this thing go by. I'm going to count it. Now, I don't know how long that was. I don't know how long the boxes are. I didn't do the math. I had to get where I was going. But when you think about God feeding over 2 million Jews every day for 40 years, that is a freight train 2 miles long every day full of manna. And God rained that from heaven to His people. You say, Brother Jason, what's the big deal about that? Listen, their shoes, the Bible says, never once wear out. Now, listen, that's impossible. I told my wife, I said, hey, I've got some boots on this morning that I love, but I walk on the outside of my feet, and them things are starting to flow over on me, and it's bothering my knee. And I said, I got to go get some new heels put on these boots. Because I said, they're still in good shape, but the heels are horrible. And I think about it, I'd love to have a pair of shoes, Brother Ken, never wore out. That's almost impossible. It is impossible without God. Their shoes never wore out. What about the children's feet growing, Brother Jason? Hey, that makes the miracle even more amazing. Amen. Their shoes grew with their feet. I thought about that. I thought, that's great. You say, what is this? I like what one of my preacher friends says. He says, this is a FBO. You say, what is that, Brother Jason? That's for believers only, all right? Only believers get a hold of that. That their shoes never wore out, that God provided manna, that even as their feet grew, their shoes grew. Amen. Only God can do that. Only a believer can believe that. Don't make sense to the world. That's how miraculous and amazing our God is. What's impossible with man is possible with God. What is Joshua saying here, Brother Jason, when he says, when you see the ark moving, go after it? He's telling them, hey, in that ark is the Word of God. In that ark is the selection of God. Aren't you glad, friend, that we've been adopted into the family of God? But he told them, hey, in that ark represents the provision of God. In that ark are the manna pots. In that ark is where they collected the manna from God. And it was a sign to His people, hey, I'll take care and I'll provide for you. Can I tell you the number one reason you'll find that people won't get in and serve God and walk with God and give their all to God is because they worry about what they got to do in this world. They worry about them taking care of things. Listen, I struggled hard about it. I almost preached a message on why people burn out. And I want you to understand, when you look at Kings chapter 18, you see Elijah was anointed of God. And then when he comes off the mountain, he's running and he's hiding for his life. He'd burn out because Elijah started trying to play God. I am the only one God's serving you. And can I tell you the reason, friend, that people will never sell out to God the way they should is because their faith is weak. Their faith is lacking. Brother Jason, if I spend more time at that church, I can't work overtime. And if I don't have overtime, I can't have that boat. Easy now, preacher. Hey, listen to me. Ain't nobody likes fishing better than this guy right here, all right? I love it. I enjoy it. But can I tell you, friend, I've done it for a long time in my life. When you go to seeking after the things of this world more than you seek after God, you'll never have the peace, you'll never have the provision, and you sure won't have the power in your life that you need. You'll be running on your own fuel. You'll be running in your own power. You'll miss the blessings of God. You'll miss the joy of serving God. God wants us to understand, friend, that if He can rain manna from the sky for His people, if He can make their shoes grow when they needed shoes, He can take care of us. Matthew chapter 6 teaches us very clearly, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow take thought of itself. He told us here. He said, sufficient for today. And then He gives a little example. He talks about, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We all know Matthew 6:33. But I like what he says a few verses before that. He's talking about all the things, raiment and clothes. And he says, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. Now, I don't know if you understand what that means. If you study your Bible, you know very clearly. After all these things, does the world seek? It's exactly what God's saying there. That's what the world worries about. They worry about what they're going to wear. They worry about what they've got. They worry about how they're going to eat. They worry about where they're going to sleep. That's what the world worries about. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be provided unto you. Can I tell you, friend, the Gospels go on to teach about how that one sparrow falls and not one sparrow falls that God sees it. He goes on to talk about how the hairs of our head are numbered. Now listen, I saved him some time, amen. My boys, they laugh. They seen a picture in my office, and I used to have a head full of hair, and my dad used to have to cut my hair about once a week because it grows so fast. They said, Dad, you had that kind of hair? And I said, yeah, I did. One day studying that verse, I got to thinking, you know, it ain't that God cares how many hairs I got on my head. He can care less. God wants me to know that's how much detail. It's how much detail. It's how much attention. That's how much I care for you. That's how much I love you. That's how much I admire you and desire to have relationship with you. And listen, friend, it's amazing to me how many things we'll put in front of God and not give Him the time He's worthy of. And then we wonder why we don't have the power and the provision to conquer the battles that rest ahead of us. Joshua told him, he said, boys, he said, we've got something coming up that we can't do in our own might. We can't do in our own power. We can't even cross the Jordan, and we sure can't conquer Jericho unless God be for us. And God give me a promise back. In chapter 1, you see that promise. That wherever our feet shall trod, we can't go and then ask the power of God to follow us. He said, when you don't even move. That's what I like. Don't even move until you see it moving. That's why God said, be still and know that I'm God. That doesn't mean be lazy. That means you set till you know I've moved. And then when I move, you get up and move. Amen. If we want the power of God, if we want the presence of God, if we want the anointing of God and the prosperity of God in our homes, in our lives, in our churches, and we want to see souls saved and people come to know God, we've got to go out. As children of God. When God come to you and He bid you into the family of God, He selected you, He saved you, He give you new life, you're selected of God, you're chosen of God, you're special to God. Amen? And then realize that God will supply. You give Him all, you'll never look back and regret that you sold out 100% to Him and gave Him your all. Father, we thank You. You know every heart and every life in this place today. God, You know every individual in this place today. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, as You move across the crowd, only You, God, know the hearts. You know, God, we've tried to obey You. We've tried to be obedient to preach what You put in our heart this morning. And God, I pray right now, would You work and continue to draw, continue to bid. And Father, we'll give You thanks. We'll give You praise. We'll give You glory for what You do in every heart and every life here today. In Jesus' name, amen.